Welcome to our first Technology Scouting podcast. My name is Eric Hollett. I am the head of Technology Scouting here at eZassi. Just to give you a little background, eZassi is a software and services provider around innovation. We have our own proprietary innovation management software with a technology landscaping feature, and then we also offer scouting services. So if you're ever in the need for any type of technology landscaping projects or challenges, eZassi has the solutions. In this Technology Scouting podcast, we are gonna discuss what technologies are emerging, who are the key players within this space, and give an overall market landscape of what this particular technology looks like, and how this is going to be commercialized, or what stage of development this particular technology is in. We'll look at all the different factors as far as a breakdown of the technology, some of the startups that are leading this particular charge, and also what outside regulatory or political areas are pushing for this technology. So today's podcast, as I mentioned, is going to be around cultured meats, cell-based meats, clean meats. There's a lot of different terminologies being used to describe this, but this particular technology has become extremely popular and trending over the last 2 to 4 years, partially due to regulations, but also due to pressure from society or a trend that is being moved by consumers in the clean labeling space. But we are going to discuss cell-based meats. We want to start off with just an overview. So we're going to talk about, you know, the expectations of this being commercialized in 2021, some of the key players in this space, Impossible Meats, Beyond Meats, Better Meats. So they're kind of leading that alternative meat space, but they're also leading the charge in cell-based meats as well. Asia is actually one of the first geographic areas we're going to look at, and it's one of those that a lot of people feel is going to embrace this consumer acceptance of this specific meat. And there's a couple of regulatory things as well as government driven reasons for this. So Asia has been pushing the regulators to come up with a framework sooner than the West. So they want to kind of get ahead of the US on this. Hong Kong is actually a free market. So many industries, it's not very heavily regulated. So a lot of the regulation landscape within the EU and China are extremely stringent. Hong Kong is comparatively more flexible, at least for the moment. We know with the political things going on there. And then Singapore and the Japanese government have actually publicly announced interest in investing into this cell-based meat. And then China signed a $300 million agreement with Israel, promising to import cell-based meat from Israel companies such as Supermeat, Future Meat, Technologies, and the Meat of the Future. And then we've also seen a large influx of investment over the last couple of years, and it really kind of kicked off in 2018. So we've seen a lot of strategic partnerships within multinational meat companies and life science corporations, contributing a deep expertise and infrastructure and obviously monetary support with this. And then in 2018, there was about $73 million invested within the cultured meat space, and that was actually 160% growth from 2007. And the U.S. was actually leading that investment portfolio, as the U.S. did in 2018 to hold a joint regulatory standard with the USDA and the FDA. They also agreed to continue discussions with that. And in March of 2019, they formulated a formal agreement that basically talks about their cooperation of overseeing the production of cell-based meat from livestock and poultry. So in 1950, William Van Island actually recognized for generating meat from tissue culture. So he was one of the first. In 2001, NASA began making vitro meat and cultured turkey. In 2014, a group, a nonprofit organization called New Harvest was formed. And in 2005, the Dutch government agency Centre Noviem begins funding cultured meat. By 2013, the first vitro hamburger was developed by Dr. Post, and it was said to cost around $325,000 to create. And then in 2016 is a lot of emergence within startups. And then I mentioned before, in 2018, there was the joint regulatory discussion for the U.S. to really define how this will be regulated and who will be regulating it. And so a couple of the external factors that have been really driving cultured meat or even alternative meat, for example, is the need to create sustainable food. So by 2050, meat consumption is actually projected to increase to almost 73%. Dairy consumption is predicted to grow up 58%. And there's a big shortfall between the amount of food we produce today and the amount of food needed by everybody by 2050. So there will be nearly 10 billion people on Earth by 2050, about 3 billion more mouths to feed than as of 2010. So the other movement is the natural free from environmental mentality. So we're trying to come up with sustainable energy, sustainable food sources, and really lower our carbon footprint. A lot of that has to do with the climate change concerns and then also political push from different type of political parties that have potential impact on climate change. But what technology is being used for cultured meat? So we're going to just do a high level view of this. But the first one is obviously cells. So satellite cells is really one small sample of animal muscle or tissue. And just one cell could be used to grow an infinite amount of meat, which is interesting. And when fed a nutrient-rich cereal, the cells turn into muscle cells and proliferate, doubling the number roughly every few days. So satellite cells are the main technology or the main process being used. And then they're also using what's called scaffolding. After the cells have multiplied, they're encouraged to form strips, much like how a cell forms fibers in living tissue. The fibers are attached to a spun-like scaffold that floods the fibers with nutrients. So it's really feeding that nutrient cell and then stretches them, exercising the muscle cell to increase their size and protein content. The last two technologies are being used are bioreactors. So they grow the cells industrially and require a bioreactor, a high-tech vat that can provide the perfect condition for growth and also movement to exercise those cells. And some of the largest bioreactors are capable of doing volumes of 25,000 liters, almost the size of an Olympic swimming pool, which could estimate produce about 10,000, enough food for about 10,000 people. The last specific technology, which is somewhat controversial, is the use of medium or media. So currently, fetal bolium serum is the most wide used serum, and it has been used for a long time as far as for cell culture and satellite cells. But they're also coming up with new alternative ways to really make sure that this is animal-free type of product. But this is the most costly piece of the whole technology used for cell-based meat. So it's very difficult to scale and supply these cells with enough medium to grow in. So those are the technologies that are really being used out there. And one thing to note is a lot of these startups do not have all the technology in-house. So they would go out to specific companies and partnership or partner with them. And a lot of these technologies are not new. They've been around for a long time in the pharma business. So they're able to go out to some of these larger pharmaceutical companies and either leverage the current technology or combine forces with another startup that maybe have expertise within that company. So we're now going to look at, after we've talked about the technology, we're going to talk about who really owns this IP, some of the patents that are being owned within cell-based meat. So a couple of them are Future Meats. They own a few of this technology or intellectual property. And some of this is not necessarily the technology. It's more of the process of how they've possibly used their satellite cells to be developed, how they are going to logistically produce this particular product. But a couple other ones are Inner Agricultural, Memphis Meats, Modern Meadows, and Just. And really, the next step within this particular space is, as we see alternative meats really kind of take off with the Impossible Burger being commercialized within Burger King's, you see all these different types of alternative meats in grocery stores. As that movement continues to take off, you'll see that there'll be an ability for cultured meats and cell-based meats once that regulation is defined, which they can expect in 2021, to really have its niche and also some of these alternative meats companies really embracing this. So we'll keep an eye on over the next 12 to 18 months to really see how that regulatory guideline really plays into effect. And we could see some movement as early as Q1 of 2020 as some of those guidelines to be defined. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in to our first podcast. We will kick these off once a month. And as I said, we will discuss different topics and different emerging technologies. You can also visit Ezossi at www.ezossi.com. Thank you so much.